Again, we're talking about how serious is God, right? How serious, when God tells us and gives us direction for something in life, are we risk takers, right? Are we going to push that envelope as much as we possibly can? And we looked at the subject line of Moses and being told to speak to the rock and said he smote it. We looked at Uzzah, who was told not to touch the Ark, and if he did, he would surely die. And guess what? He pushed the envelope and he lost. And then we looked at Lot's wife, who was told to leave Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't turn back and look. If you do, you're going to turn into a pillar of salt. And we know the rest is history. We know that that's what she is known for now, as well as being the one that turned back and looked. And so, you know, that kind of leads me to talk more in depth about us in more modern times today, right? If my wife gives me some money or gives me the bank card and says, you know, I want you to run up to the store. I'm going to make a cake. Sorry, getting Roger's sermon maybe next Lord's Day. But I'm going to make a cake. I need a dozen eggs and a gallon of milk. All right, I'm headed there. I'll do it. And I go to the store, and I come back with a gallon of milk and not a dozen eggs. Have I listened to what my wife has instructed me to do? Am I going to get a cake out of the mix? Of course not, right? We always are listening to instructions. If your boss here today, going to work tomorrow, gives you an instruction, wants you to work on a project and wants you to do something, and you end up saying, well, I know what my boss told me to do, but I'm going to do something different, and or I'm going to take that project and do something completely different with it. You turn that project into your boss, I'd say 8-9 times out of 10, he or she is going to be upset with us not completing that task as it was given to us. And so I don't know if you guys are on the same lines that I am or not, but I look at God the exact same way. He's given us a task. He's given us a lifestyle. He's given us a group of individuals called Christians for us to be together. He's given us specific instruction on what we need to be successful. And hear those glorious terms, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord. Are we willing to risk that? Are we willing to push that envelope? Are we testing to see how hot that fire is before we actually get burned? Or can we simply listen to what God wants us to do and has instructed us to do? And so, I've already kind of made mention of this, but with all these examples that we were just read of, Moses and Uzzah and Lot's wife, and even us as modern days today, in modern times today, what all they have example is that, man, when you play with fire, you are eventually going to get burned. And it's not going to be a pretty, And it's not going to be a pretty picture. And as I said before, this is just me saying this, this is no scripture or anything, but I do not want to be in the shoes of somebody, especially myself, obviously, who stands before God and he says, I gave you simple instruction on worship. Why did you teach otherwise? I gave you simple instruction on forgiveness. Why couldn't you forgive? I gave you simple instruction on how to treat your wife. Why didn't you do it right? I gave you simple instruction on attaining to life and to godliness. Why didn't you do it? I don't want to be that person. And no doubt, I'm sure all of you don't want to be in that same boat as well. And so let's think about it from this perspective as well. Whether we fully understand and or agree or not, it's important to listen to God's instructions and obey them. Listen, if we're all being honest with ourselves, I think there's a lot of scripture and a lot of subjects that we could all look within ourselves and say, man, if I was in charge, I'd do a little bit differently. Right? Marriage, divorce, remarriage. I hear that all the time. That's a complicated subject, and I understand that. But there's also simple solutions to it pertaining to the Word of God. Now, again, if we're honest with ourselves, we can all probably look at a subject like that or anything and say, I would change it if I was the guy in charge, right? If I was the creator. But Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 33 says, hear instruction, be wise, and refuse it not. I don't know how much more simplistic we can get, guys, than that. Hear what God has instructed us to do. You know, don't be a fool, listen to what he said, and don't refuse it. Just do it. Just do it. As a parent, which I know there's maybe all of us at one point or another have experienced what it is to be a parent, or maybe grandchildren, niece or nephew or something. But as an older adult over a child, right, we tell our kids, you need to go clean your room. You need to go clean your room, and then we can go to the store and get some ice cream or something, right? And then you say it again, and you say it again, and then you say it again. And after a while, Proverbs 8:33 starts ringing in your head, doesn't it? Just do it. Just clean your room. It's so simple. It takes 5 minutes, especially with our son Brady. My daughter Harper can knock out her homework in literally 2 minutes. It takes Brady half an hour, 45 minutes to write two small sentences. And so my wife and I are ripping our hair. I've got a little gray action going on here already at 33 years old, but where we're sitting there saying, just write the sentence. Just do it, you know? And no doubt, I feel like God, in so many of our lives, maybe is saying the exact same thing to us. I feel like he says it to me all the time, Brock, just come on. You know, forgive that person. You know, listen to what I have to say. So on and so forth. And then number two, when we really and truly think about this, God's word is plain. It's simple and easy to be understood, yet we try to overcomplicate things sometimes, not all the times, but sometimes, just to please our own selves, please our own bellies, right? It's not that difficult. Now, no doubt, there are some subjects and there are some book chapters and verses that really cause us to think, and I think God did that in his infinite wisdom for us to really engage in Bible studies, right? But that's the awesome nature of the Bible, too. The gospel plan of salvation isn't found in Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. You got to go fishing for it. You got to study for it. So, but it's plain and simple that even a child might understand, especially the gospel plan of salvation, which we're going to talk about that here in just a second. But why do we try to overcomplicate things as Christians, guys? I don't understand it. I talked to some brethren about some subject, and Kayla and I were talking about this a little bit ago. I talked to some brethren about some subjects, and we're talking about something, and it's going great. How are the kids? And how's the family? How's the congregation? Then I bring up a Bible subject. We're done. I won't hear from them again. It's mind-boggling. And these are, I'll be frank and honest with you, these are elders. These are ministers that I'm talking to. And as soon as I bring up a biblical subject about something, it's, well, no, can't talk. You know? And really? Are our hearts and minds where they need to be? Are we really and truly doing what God wants us to do? Or do we believe that God has our best interests and his mindset? Guys, are we playing church? Psalms chapter 19 and verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. God has not thrown us to a den of wolves and said, hey, good luck not getting bit. He's not thrown us into a ring of fire and says, hey, I hope you don't get burned. Good luck with it, bud. God has given us all things pertain to life and to godliness. He's not one time said, I'm going to throw him a puzzle here. I'm going to really stir the wrench. I'm really going to complicate things. I'm going to test their ability to see if they really know what they're doing or what they're talking about. The law of the Lord is perfect. It converts the soul from a sinner to a Christian. The testimony of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is sure. It makes wise the simplistic things. And it's not that difficult for us to understand. Now, it's a lesson in and of itself. We could talk about humility. We could talk about pleasing ourselves. We could talk about the bigger crowds. We could talk about all sorts of different methodologies that I can think of off the top of my head as to why these things are the way that they are. But at the end of the day, guys, that's up to each and every one of us, self-included, on what we're going to believe with God. So far in my life, he's never let me down, right? He's never said, good luck in life. I don't always get things answered the way that I want them to and or in the timely manner that I want them to, but they get answered as he answers all of us. So I want to look at and take the rest of the time here to kind of look at some common complaints that we hear, that I've heard, that is going rampant in the church, is going rampant outside of the church as well. And we just have to ask ourselves, what direction are we going to go with this belief system? Are we willing and wanting to do what God wants us to do or not? It's like the Bible, like I just said, it's not a difficult question, right? And we shouldn't be producing a difficult answer. It's simple, it's easy to understand, and we just simply have to answer within ourselves, am I willing and wanting to do what God wants me to do? Number one is salvation. And I know I'm going to be preaching to a majority of the choir here this morning in regards to salvation. But, I mean, faith only and baptism is non-essential and simply state the sinner's prayer and so on. There's just so many complicated things when it comes to the saving of one's soul that's out there. And Kyle and Nick know this because I've talked to them about this. I like to live my life from a ministry standpoint and from a worship standpoint, everything, that I'm in the shoes of a visitor, right? I've grown up in the Church of Christ. I've grown up in religion. I've heard the same sermons that maybe a bulk of you have heard and subjects and stuff. But I always put myself in the shoes of somebody that's never walked in those doors before, and this is their first experience within the Church of Christ. Right? And I think we all, to a degree, need to have that same mindset to really and truly get them to understand who we are and what we are all about. So, we have a young couple right now that's been worshiping with us for a year and a half. And I loved Kyle's comment there in our Bible study this morning. You know, sometimes it takes a while. But they've come religiously, and every single week, multiple times throughout the week, I'll get an email, text message, phone call with questions. And this is a huge question. Hey, I had a coworker telling me that all I had to do was pray a sinner's prayer. What's that all about? All I had to do is just accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior in my heart, and that's all it is. What's that about? That's not what I've heard you teach. And so salvation. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. These verses need no further detail, need no further explanation, do they, guys? I can't make this up. I'm old King James Version, that's the style that I use. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I got to repent. I got to be baptized. I go to the store. I bring back a gallon of milk and not a dozen eggs. Am I getting that cake? No. Likewise, from a spiritual perspective, if I repent and I don't get baptized, am I getting my sins remissioned, so to speak? Am I getting my sins wiped clean? No. This is plain and simple and easy for us to understand if we just read, one, and two, accept. Now, I understand, again, I've been doing this for a long time. And so from a visitor's perspective, and if you're here visiting with us this morning, I'm not meaning to insult your intelligence whatsoever. You know, this stuff, it takes time, and I understand that. It takes a lot of time and patience and understanding. But we can all read, right? You and I were to read a children, the, you know, Green Eggs and Ham, Dr. Seuss. I'm sure you and I both are going to get the same outcome on what Green Eggs and Ham is all about and what the Dr. Seuss book's all about, right? It's the same principle here. Same principle. Don't overcomplicate matters. Romans chapter 6, 3 and 4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also should walk in newness of life. You know what I hear all the time is yeah, baptism is great, but it's an outward representation that you've accepted your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in your heart and you've already become a Christian. And I tell people all the time, I say, man, I need to read that. Please let me read that. And I never hear from them again. We overcomplicate matters when they really shouldn't be overcomplicated. Just listen to it. Just do what God wants us to do. Number two, and this has been a huge, especially with the Supreme Court ruling last year or so? You know, same-sex marriage, okay. God loves everybody. God loves every single person. This is going to go with my other note here in a little bit as well. But the article that I wanted to briefly read to you guys. This was September 20th of 2017. Lesbian ministers with apostate Church of Christ wed each other. And the Pentecostal father refused to attend. These two ladies who are ministers at the United Church of Christ, which I understand, I don't even know why Church of Christ is on that, because as the United is something kind of completely different from what a lot of us are accustomed to doing. But they attended the Rivers of Living Water, your United Church of Christ in New Jersey and New York, and wed each other late last year. But because it has the term Church of Christ on it, I had to answer it to somebody around the time that it happened. So as an end result, obviously, we know what the Bible has to say, at least the majority of us do, know what the Bible has to say about a subject line like this. Genesis 2, 23 and 24. Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, talking about his wife Eve. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This lesson is so hard to do because oftentimes as ministers we do what? We put a verse up there and then we explain it a little bit more, right? How else am I supposed to explain this? How else can you explain this? How else can we detail something like this? We also read over in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13. If a man also lie with mankind as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. What's the whole terminology of an abomination mean? Anything greatly disliked or abhorred. So, you know, the sad nature about this is if we oppose this, we're bigots, right? We're terrible people. We're the Christian followers of Christ that want nothing to do with those people. Those people are like outcasts to us and stuff like that. And sadly, I've heard some brethren in the church say some pretty derogatory names towards people of this lifestyle. I think that's 110% completely wrong. These guys, I'll go back to what I said about denominationalism, right? These guys still have a soul. And as long as they're upon the face of this earth, that soul still has the potential to be saved. We cannot treat other people as outcasts. Because how would you feel if we were treated as that outcast, right? We have to be careful, guys. But it's abomination in the sight of God. And how terrible of a situation that our society and our world, and God bless our young children that are in school now and is constantly throwing this their way and stuff like that. It's a lot different than when myself, Kyle, Kayla, and Nick, when we were in school. A lot different these days. Showing our age too, guys, but at the same time, it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible to think about what kind of school system, what kind of society that our children are going to be raised in. And here we are as parents trying to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They go to school and then they get shunned because of that. If we simply listen to what God has to, and God's thoughts and feelings and what He's told us, my thoughts are better than your thoughts. My ways are better than your ways. Mic drop, right? No ifs, ands, or buts about it. We have to listen to what God has instructed us to do. This also is coming into fruition with this article that I just read. The next thing I want to talk about, and this will be our last topic to talk about as well, is the whole concept of what headship is all about. 1 Corinthians 11, 12, 13, and 14 were all issues that were dealing and taking place within the congregation at Corinth at this particular time, right? They had women speaking out. They had people speaking in tongue, multiple people speaking in tongue, no interpretations. The church at Corinth was a mess. And so what we see here in 1 Corinthians 11, the first 16 verses, is the kind of hierarchy of spiritual headship. We have God, we have Christ, we have man, and we have woman. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 11 there and in verse 3. Yet today, what do we see, guys? I just read that article. More and more women are trying to take on a prominent leadership and or teaching role in the Lord's church. And it's crept into the church of Christ. I just read that article. I know, like I said, Unite is a little bit more extreme than what a lot of us are used to in the conservative Church of Christ. But this article, the main line is, lesbian ministers with apostate Church of Christ wed each other. And then people knowing that I attend a Church of Christ, hey, Begley, what's that all about? You guys accepting that stuff now, or what's going on? If we just listen to what the Word of God has to say. But this important, I put chapters of God's Word is more or less being taught as optional. Hey, and listen, I hear this all the time too. Well, the Bible's sexist, right? Women aren't allowed to do anything. Guys, that's not the case. Man, let's not think. Let's not ever think that way. I've got a whole sermon on the roles and responsibility of our sisters in Christ that maybe sometime I'd love to do here. And you guys have no idea. And because I don't really think it's being taught all that much, the sisters have no idea how crucial and vital their role is in the church. And it's got nothing to do with getting up here every Sunday. I tell people this all the time. If I had my way, which it's not about me, I wouldn't be up here. I would be doing the behind-the-scenes work that I call it, right? I love that kind of stuff. The interpersonal relationships, the getting people together, the encouragement. 1 Peter chapter 3 tells us that just by how a wife treats her husband, she's also teaching people that have never cracked open a Bible before. That's huge. That is a huge responsibility. You're teaching people the Word of God. You know, I have to actually open a Bible, you know, and tell people book, chapter, and verse what Christ Jesus is all about, what Christianity is all about. Just by how you encourage and edify and uplift husband, and don't dog him, right? And don't talk negatively about him. Don't, you know, this and that, and he's such a nag, and he won't leave me alone. And so, just by how you treat your husband, you're teaching the Word of God. That's awesome. So I don't want this slide to defer anybody. I don't want this slide to be looked upon as negative or anything like that, because the man has obviously the authority over a woman within the worship service. But outside of that, ladies, sisters in Christ, my goodness, you have a huge role, humongous role. And we'll talk about that maybe at a later time. There's some other verses we can look at here. Verse 13, judge in yourselves. He says, we have no such customs. And I mean, so many of this is just, people look at these and say, well, do what you want to do, right? You want to have a woman over a man or a man, you guys figure it out. You do what you want to do. That's not in context with what God's Word is saying whatsoever. And I think we know that for 1 Corinthians 14:34. I'm going to change the slide, guys, and I apologize because I really wanted to look at 11 through 14. But chapter 14, right? We know we in our command that our women are to learn in silence. And as Paul goes along and says, it is a shame for a woman to speak. Earlier on in chapter 14, I believe it's verses 20, 21, 22, something along that line, but it talks about when the church comes together, right? We as guys, we cannot give our sisters authority in the worship, can we? God tells us we can. But outside of a worship, ladies, go for it. You know, get some people together, teach, you know, preach. Do what you need to do to further the kingdom of God. However, with all that being said, we're taught in 1 Corinthians 14:34 that men are to have the dominant role in the services, teaching and the leading, etc., with the ladies learning in silence. And I cannot tell you how many times that I've talked to brethren in and out of the church, and or people out of the church as well, where they try to go off into left field. It's like my golf game, right? You're supposed to hit a ball straight, and mine just kind of curves every single time I do it. Supposed to be putting the ball in the hole straight, but my balls just kind of go left and right, and I feel like that's what sometimes I hear a lot of brethren say in the church as well. No, let's stay down the straight and narrow, fellas. Let's come back here. Let's work on that golf game, so to speak, and let's simply listen to what God has instructed us to do. And so in closing, guys, I could have touched on many different things, many different areas, many different aspects, and as I'm up here presenting this sermon, I've already seen some things I'd like to maybe add to or take away from it. But in closing, could not following all of God's Word possibly cost us salvation? That's not up for me to answer. That's up for you to answer. Lucky you, right? Here's your homework assignment for the week. Answer this question. Answer it right now. Answer it throughout this week. Study it. Study up on it. Could not following all of God's Word possibly cost us salvation? I want to answer it for myself right now, and I believe it can. I believe it can. I believe that we encounter Christians sometimes that are in it for themselves, right? I believe that we encounter some Christians that are in it for the money. I've talked to some gospel preachers that are full-time ministers, and I truly believe during my conversations with some of these guys that if they feel like they were to change anything from what the normal standard of preaching ways or whatever it is that they have done or have doing from a typical basis, on a typical Sunday basis, if they were to change anything, well, the elders would knock them out of the pulpit immediately. And that's scary. That's really, really scary. Any study, and Kyle and Nick know this as well, any study that I go into, if you want to talk about baptism with me, I go into it with an open mind. I go into it with an open heart, like I have no idea what I'm doing, or no idea what your position might be on baptism. Baptism, or Christian living, or forgiveness, or whatever the case might be. Go into these things with an open mind, with an open heart. Don't pretend like you've known it all your whole life, right? Don't pretend like you know all that there is to know. When I met my wife and we had a big difference on baptism, she came out of the denominational world, baptism was huge for us. And here I am 22, 23 years old, I'm like, oh, I got this. You know, it's essential, of course it is. Man, she about chewed me up and spit me out the first time I talked to her about it. You know, my arrogant rear end didn't know anything that I should have known. And so, could possibly not following all of God's Word cost us salvation? I think it can. And so we have to make sure that we're on guard and listening and looking at the warning symbols and labels that God has laid out right there in front of us. It's not like, hey, what's behind box one, box two, and box three? You know, it's God has lifted all the boxes and said, hey, here's what's before you. Do it. Obey it. Listen to it. leaving out parts or interjecting new ones, or however small or big, in the middle they might be, really keep us from heaven? Answer these questions for yourselves, guys. Take a deep breath, humbling ourselves, listening to God's Word, and it can go such a long way. Such a long way. And I'll be frank with you. Over the past probably 5 or 10 years, I feel like I've grown in ministry. I've grown in my understanding of what God's Word is. I was one of those guys that listened to my grandfathers preach all the time, and if you would ask me why I believed in what I believed in, well, called my grandpa. Yes, that's what he taught. I'm no different than the same people that I hear so many lessons on of, well, the denominational world takes their preacher's word for it. We're no different than that, guys, when we look at it from that perspective. We're no different at all. Don't take my word for this stuff. Don't take Kyle's or Roger's or whoever else gets up here our word for this stuff. We love the trust. We love the encouragement. But look at the Word of God for what it has to say for all of us. We have a sister at our congregation, Davis, and she says this all the time. You enter the subject in here. Whoops, we'll go back. She says all the time, I would hate to go to judgment one day and have, you name it, cost me from entering into heaven. Hating somebody because they said something mean or nasty or negative to me. I would hate to go to judgment day and God said, you forgave a lot of people, but what about this one person? I would hate to go to judgment day and say, hey, I didn't take advantage of the opportunities that God gave me. I would hate to go to judgment day and just any of these things that we can talk about. Any of these things. And Kayla and I briefly talked about that during our break as well. I'd hate to go to judgment and be wrong on something. So that's why Bible study is so important. That's why getting together is so important. That's why revisiting maybe some subjects that we've been kind of maybe lackadaisical on for the past 5, 10, 15 years, it's so important to do. We all grow, different paces, different strengths, we're all different people. As Kyle said, some people it takes 2 or 3 years to grasp hold on to this. Some people 2 or 3 days, you know? So revisit some of this stuff and go back and look through the Word of God for what it really and truly is designed for, and that's to help us and listen to God. We could be up here all day looking at biblical. Look at Paul. Look at the Saul of Tarsus as a good example. Persecutor, murderer of Christians. And God comes down to an angel and says, hey, straighten up. Go into the city and it'll be told what you have to do. And from then on, we know who the Apostle Paul ended up being, one of the greatest encouraging folks of history, world history, especially when it comes to salvation. And so listen to God. Listen to His instructions. Be wise and refuse it not. If you're in the audience once again and not yet a Christian, I hope I've been encouraging. I hope I've been able to say some things that's maybe sparked some interest or some thoughts in your minds and in your hearts and maybe inquiring at the very least about Christianity. I tell you, it's the greatest family in the world that you could ever be a part of. And this congregation, every time I come here, I'm met with open arms and handshakes and hugs and stuff like that. And that's what keeps me coming back as well when the invitation is extended. And so I very much appreciate that, and my family does as well. If you're in the audience and are a Christian, you're struggling with maybe listening to God, listening to His full commandments, listening to the direction He's trying to take you in life, we all have different directions, and sometimes it's a struggle. And I know when I was a young person in college and stuff, it was a struggle for me to know, God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? I was a song leader, so we all know how that turned out. And so listen to God. Listen to what He has to say. He's not going to steer you wrong. He's only going to take you in the right direction. If we can assist you in any way, please let us know. Together, we stand and sing at this time.